All right. Wow. Okay, so real briefly, I wasn't gonna do an episode for this because I've just been so busy. But I feel like I should just get something out. So this is gonna be, 20 minutes, maybe, give or take. And it's not gonna be a full episode. It's gonna be It's gonna be audio only. And we're not really going to dive into the details and the fundamentals and X's and O's and all that. But I did want to get my thoughts out there into the, the emptiness, whoever is listening to this. Because, I mean, after a win like that, oh my God, how can you not? Like that the Knicks won the other night, game two, at home. 130 to 121, I believe, was the final score. So we're going to talk about it a little bit in this episode of the podcast. Again, it's going to be a well shortened episode. There's not going to be much detail. I don't have notes in front of me. I have a couple things jotted down, but I don't have my usual, breakdown of possessions and different things like we usually do. But I just wanted to get some thoughts out there. So we're going to do that here. In episode 680, Knicks Pacers game two. Game three is tonight, so I want to get this out as quick as I can. Let's start. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, RJ Carbone. You are listening to BD4, where there's no better way to get your Yankees and Knicks analysis. We also do MMA. Yanks every series, Knicks every game, MMA on occasion. Let's get to it. Anthony for three. All right. Welcome to the podcast, episode 680 of BD4. I'm your host, RJ Carbone. You are listening to episode 680 of BD4, where there's no better way to get your Yankees and Knicks analysis. We also do MMA, Yanks every series, Knicks every game, MMA on occasion. So I wanted to get a quick episode out, audio only, not going to be the full breakdown. But we'll get out as much as we can before I have to leave for work this morning or this afternoon. It's hard to do a short episode of what the hell went down on was it Tuesday night? Right? Like that or Wednesday. That was so, it was like a fever dream, man. So many ups and downs. And you think you end the night on an up, right? You got the W. I don't know where to begin. It was the anniversary, 50 years. I don't know. It was an anniversary of the Willis Reed comes out of the tunnel, Garden goes nuts game, right? And then to have Jalen Brunson kind of mirror that and in a smaller, it's not the finals, but it's round two. But the fact that he, remember, Willis Reed came out there, scored 4 points the second he came back, and that was all he did. It was the Walt Clyde Frazier game. Jalen Brunson, second quarter, I mean, the Knicks are playing god-awful basketball. They are clearly missing him, even if it was the defensive side of the floor where they were getting burnt. They needed Jalen Brunson to give them the extra push offensively just to overtake that. Clearly needed him. And you didn't know what it was, how long it was going to be. It kind of resembled the last time Brunson went down when he bumped knees and everybody thought it was a non-contact injury. You know, you just had that pit in your stomach. Like, should this game even matter to us? And then you see, I mean, I'm sure it was crazy at the Garden. But during halftime, at the end of halftime, he comes out of the tunnel and you see him warming up on the court. He's shooting jumpers. He kind of gestures to the crowd. It's all good. Relax. And from what I heard, they went nuts. They went freaking nuts. And what makes this, again, it's not on a stage as big as Willis Reed, game 7 of the finals. But Jalen Brunson didn't score 4 points, and then he wasn't, and like, it wasn't like he was quiet the rest of the way. Jalen Brunson started this game hot, sat for a quarter and a half, came back on a bad leg, and dropped 24 points in the second half, I think on 9 for 16 shooting. He finishes the game with 29 points in 32 minutes, so clearly would have been up for another 40 ball had he been out there for the entire game again. Unbelievable. The will that this guy has. I've lost words to describe Jalen Brunson. You know, you try your best to put things on a piece of paper and you know, read some notes, and you try your best to freestyle when you have to and just give your raw authentic thoughts, and I don't have anything left. I don't have anything left to describe the wizardry that Jalen Brunson just keeps on displaying. Like, he's my favorite New York sports athlete, and that is crazy because right now I'm currently in a love affair with Juan Soto. I am obsessed with Juan Soto because I've wanted him on the Yankees since he was with DC. Jalen Brunson is clear-cut the number one New York sports athlete right now, and it is remarkable how quickly that's happened. It is remarkable how quickly that's happened. I mean, this dude. And nobody thought it'd be like this. Like, there are Knicks fans, innocent ones, who were like, all right, even the ones who liked the signing to begin with, nobody thought he would become a top 7 superstar in the NBA. Nobody thought he would be a top 5 MVP candidate. Unbelievable. So it was, I think, if you could describe in one word, that performance from Jalen Brunson in game 2, inspiring would be the best way to do it. Inspiring. That's the word I have. Unbelievable. And it was, I mean, it just felt amazing to go up 2-0 just because you have some cushion now. But the fact that the Knicks did this on TNT, and you know that this clown show of a network, this excuse of a network, there goes my chances of working for them if I get a job in the journalism field. You know that they flew Reggie out. They purposely flew Reggie out from OKC just to troll Knicks fans and continue riding this rotten, tired, old fable of Reggie Miller being the boogeyman at the Garden. It's insane because it's so disrespectful and blatant. Like, they act like Knicks fans don't have access to the internet, don't have a brain, don't have memory. Because Reggie Miller, what was he, 7-27 at Madison Square Garden lifetime? He lost that series where he did the whole choke thing to Spike. Like, the dude isn't some Knicks. They're acting like he's Ortiz. You know, they're acting like that. It's who is he? He's nobody to the Knicks. He had a couple moments. But they purposely flew him out there. And the simple fact that Josh Hart, man. going over to him at the end while the entire building of 22,000 Knicks fans are chanting F Reggie Miller, the fact that Josh Hart just casually going over to the table, hey, you hear what they're saying about you, right? They're saying F you. Oh, and just laughing in his face while saying it. Oh, man. That, like, that made my it made my week. It made, like, I'm going to remember that. Oh, my gosh. I had the game on mute. I was listening to a podcast watch along because they, you know, content creators provide such better insight than, you know, garbage national media outlets today. Because fans actually watch every game. You're going to get authentic opinion. You're not going to get tired narratives and Knicks for clicks type of stuff. So I was watching the game on mute. But from what I heard, the entire game, Reggie Miller was just bringing up himself and trying so hard to extend that little fable of his from the 90s Knicks. And it was like unbearable to listen to. So I'm just, it felt amazing just for that fact. But yeah, it was a big win, man. Like the fact that the Knicks won another game, you know, how many, you can bullet point a few games now this postseason where the Knicks probably had no business winning, but because they're more resilient than any other basketball team in the NBA, because they're more gutsy and gritty and all the cliche adjectives you want to find, they pull out a win. Like, they were looking really bad. They looked like they were finally gassed. They looked like it finally caught up to them, and maybe it did, in the first half. You know? Like, they weren't the same team physically. They were making mental errors, just unfocused, lazy basketball. And, yeah, it's you could tell. It's probably due to the short rotation, due to all the injuries piling up and having to play 40-plus minutes a night. You know, they were getting embarrassed on the glass at times. Indiana was getting to the ball much quicker, like right from the jump, that one play, right? They get to the tip and they beat the Knicks right to the basket. The Knicks just getting beat on the glass. There were times, multiple times, where they were just pretty much refusing to close out to three-point shooters. They were skipping rotations. Like, Josh Hart had some really bad lapses where he was just, you could tell, he just didn't have the legs to get out. They were playing slow. And that's a nightmare when you play an Indiana team who likes to play at a high tempo. You know? And fortunately, I can't believe I haven't said his name yet, and we're about 15 minutes in. Fortunately, OG Anunoby, who, man, maybe we'll touch on this, but like, OG Anunoby keeping the Knicks in it. That first half, when Jalen Brunson went out, you got OG Anunoby, who from the get-go of this game, keeping the Knicks in it, finally providing Jalen Brunson a sidekick, you know, because he's had to do so much, and his role players have had some ups and downs because they're role players. But OG Anunoby steps up, and he's the 1B to Brunson's 1A, by the way, in this game. And he's driving right into Miles Turner's chest, who's an overrated defender, by the way. And he's just getting to the basket and he's creating on the mid post. He's knocking down threes, being aggressive outside. And he's excellent. So he was really the only good Nick in the first half when Brunson was out. You know, Hart was playing like an idiot. Deuce McBride was playing like an idiot. Isaiah Hartenstein was not playing up to par. Dante DiVincenzo wasn't giving you much at the time. But Brunson comes back. And I think that just inspired everybody else, because the way the Knicks played after that in the second half from the get-go, you could tell, okay, now it's time to fucking do some shit. The point of attack defense was much sharper. They were closing out much harder. They were rebounding a lot better. And you could tell Brunson was still, like, they must have shot him up with something because he was just playing in pain. You could tell it didn't kick in right away. And they were using him as a decoy a lot off ball. He wasn't bringing the ball up. He was coming off some screens. You know, he wasn't initiating actions the entire time. But as the half progressed, the second half, the dude found himself to 29 points despite missing significant time in the game. And, you know, Indiana, their defense is really bad. Like, I'm sorry to laugh, but, like, I don't know how this team is in the fucking playoffs with this defense. Oh, my God, is it a bad defense. Like, they sometimes, they refuse to help. A lot of the time, they'll refuse to help. Because their whole thing is, let's prevent attempts from the outside. But it just leaves the nail open for Brunson to drive off of. Time and time again. And credit to Josh Hart. For, I mean, this is probably the most aggressive Josh Hart game in terms of attacking. Like, when they helped, they would help off Hart and dig in a little bit. So the second they did that, Hart would stampede the catch, attack the open space, and he would either drive and kick to the open man one pass over, or he'd get to the basket and finish. He was remarkable, taking advantage of Indiana helping off him, cheating a little bit. But Jalen Brunson, like, Indiana, you could tell, like, they were trying everything they could, you know? They were trying every kind of defense that they can employ. At one point, they brought two to the level, and the Knicks would play their offense to a T. Anytime, I love when defenses start blitzing Jalen pick and rolls, because that allows them, it plays right into the Knicks' hands. So the Pacers started to send two. So Brunson would hit the short roll, whoever it was. It's usually Josh Hart or I Hart slipping the short roll. Brunson hits the short roll pocket, and then one of those guys put the ball on the floor, and they kick to the corners, kick to the wings for a three-pointer. It's the short roll playmaking off of the blitz that the Knicks have just mastered to a T ever since Julius went down. Right? And so Brunson was mastering that. Hartenstein, Josh Hart. It was impressive. What else do I have down here? Like I said, the Knicks defense, especially in the second half, picked it up. You know, their switches and their rotations were tighter. I thought the Knicks did the best they could trying to switch everything. You know, it's probably the best thing to switch on this offense. But it's also tough to switch when you have Brunson on the floor because they're going to find that mismatch, right? A lot of the time they would find the Brunson switch with Miles Turner, and Turner would post Brunson, and then you'd have a Nick have to help off, you know, like Hart had to help down and leave Halliburton open. And then they would swing to Halliburton on the weak side and catch and shoot, right? A lot of that would happen, and they're going to find Brunson. It's going to be hard to hide him, especially now without Anunoby for the series. I think they did their best in switch. You know, the Pacers are a good offense. I'll give them that. And so they would try to kind of read the switch coming, and they would slip the screen early to beat the switch. They found themselves to 120 whatever points last night. Again, like, it's gonna be bad. I don't know how the Knicks are gonna get through this series with this defense being as bad as it is, and that was with Anunoby here. I think that, man, I don't know. Like, they were over helping, getting killed in rotation again. You know, I know Halliburton had a better night. I still don't think you have to help as much on him because he's an incredible passer. And so you send two to Halliburton actions, he's going to find the short roll, and then that's going to force the Knicks into rotation. And that happened game one. It happened a little bit again last night or Wednesday night. So, you know, Precious is a good switch big. He can switch 1-5 and hold his own. It's still, OG Anunoby is going to be missed. And I'm not so sure that, I don't know. You know, it's hard. They're a good offense. They play quick. They got a lot of off-ball motion. You know, Obi Toppin out there moving off the ball, and you combine that with TJ McConnell's drives and having to stay attached. It's incredibly difficult to do. By the way, Carlisle's decision to take TJ McConnell out of the game late was, oh my God. I mean, I guess he was trying to get more size. I guess he was trying to get a better half court spacing in the half court when you have TJ one pass away versus an Amhart or Naismith. I get it, I guess, but Jesus. They're going to have to find a way from here. You know, I don't know how, but they're going to have to find a way. I would certainly hope that Tibbs does the right thing tonight and he starts Deuce McBride. Because if you're playing, I can't, dude, man. Precious Achiuwa at the four will not work in a postseason. Now, I know the Pacers aren't great at exploiting bad spacing. They don't have the matchups to really take full advantage of that. They can clog as much as they can, but they don't have the matchups at the end of the day. I still would prefer going small versus big, even with that Siakam-Turner front court. You need spacing more than ever because you're losing a spacer in OG Anunoby now. I don't see, I mean, it's already been tough enough for Brunson to create offense in this series. I mean, it's he makes it look easy, but he's got to do so much. And so to put Brunson next to Hart, Precious, and iHeart, it's just not fair. It's just not fair. So I think you have to go Deuce at two and slip Dante up at the wing and then go Hart at the four, iHeart at the five. That's got to be your 2-5 there. You know, it's even like, and this is assuming Jalen Brunson plays because he's, you know, he's always going to be questionable, but I think he'll play. But, you know, if he doesn't play, then the Knicks just might have to take full advantage of this game and see what they can get from, dare I say, I mean, at this point, you have to see what you can get from your third unit. Right? Like, I can't believe I'm going to say, like, Shake Milton's name here on fucking May 10th. But here we are. This is how depleted this team is. They might have finally hit a wall. Because you just can't sustain this. It's become a six-man rotation. It's Jalen Brunson. If he's healthy, it's Jalen Brunson, DiVincenzo, Hart, Hartenstein, McBride, Precious. Right? And if Brunson's not healthy, it's five men. You don't even have a bench. So you're going to be forced to dip into the third unit. Regardless, you're going to have to go to Burks. I mean, Tibbs tried. He tried so long to not go to Burks, and then he had to give in for a minute. Burks comes on the floor, forces up on the court, forces up a long two, and contested out of the rhythm of the offense, and he's like, okay, yeah, no, this is why I don't play you. So I think it's finally caught up with the Knicks. I don't know how they're going to win this series. I know they're up 2-0. I know they're up 2-0, but if yeah, like, if OG Anunoby, you might be able to win the series without him, but I don't think you can afford Jalen Brunson missing a game. And then the next series, if they're fortunate enough to get there, if it ends up being Boston without Anunoby, sorry, I don't take this team serious. Not against that team. Those Spain pick and rolls are going to fucking kill the Knicks. But we have to win this series first. We have to win tonight in Indiana. Not really concerned about that. I'm not afraid of Hicks. But the Knicks aren't afraid of road teams. And the Knicks travel. The Knicks fans travel. So I'm sure they'll have some support. But I do need Jalen Brunson playing. Whatever it is, I hope he's healthy enough to at least play. So I think that's it. You know, I don't know that I have. Like, yeah, listen, like, the media is never going to respect the Knicks, right? I mean, you got TNT inside the NBA, you know, opening up their post-game segment with that fat guy Barkley yapping and calling the Knicks overrated and saying they get stomped by the Celtics. I mean, right away, he goes to that. They don't even talk about the game. They just go, you know, the next morning you got ESPN talking about, are the Knicks overrated or are they for real? You know, today, this morning, they open up their segment with the same exact fucking topic. It's insane. You know, and it's all Knicks for clicks. It's to get reactions like myself, right? But, which makes me feel good. Like, the Knicks are finally good. They're making the media uncomfortable. And I think that's how you got to take it, right? That's how you got to see it. We're finally at a spot where we're such a threat. People feel so uncomfortable because they know that they eventually, one point or another, have to give this New York Knicks team, who is number two in the Eastern Conference, despite all these injuries, credit. So. Yeah, man. It was a great win. I can't say that I'm much confident anymore, just because I think they finally hit a limit. I think they finally hit a limit. So we'll see. Appreciate you all tuning in. Episode 680. No trivia, none of that, no breaks. We'll wrap it up here. Thank you all. I'll see you in the next show.
This episode was brought to you by Anchor.
Hey there! If you stayed the entire way through, we thank you immensely for it. We hope you enjoyed this podcast and that you come back for the next episode real soon. Don't forget to like, subscribe, comment, download these episodes, and share them with your friends as well. BD4 is a 5-star podcast simply because of you. And we'd like to keep it that way. Have a wonderful day. Go Yankees and go Knicks!